and it come on ringing with, you know, "Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot as me?" So that's my ringtone. It's really cool. Somebody ought to call me, and then, you know, but then too many people know my number. Okay. So I'm gonna turn it off. I remember these communicators were like science fiction when I was a kid. You know, it was like, this was like, we're gonna happen way in the future. But you know, I really thought I had more sense. You know? Yeah. It's like, I'm in the future and I'm still making the same dumb mistakes sometimes.
You're supposed to be so wise.
Yes. So I guess then I found out through the course that basically wisdom was finding out how ignorant you were. And I said, "Wow, that's deep." So you're not wise, my son, until you realize how totally ignorant you are. And when you can accept how totally ignorant you are, then you will become open to knowledge. Up until then, you will think you know, and so you won't really be open to the answer. It's deep. So what I like to do is play a little song that allows us to kind of focus in together. It's really cool too. A friend of mine just finished this CD, and so he told me to play number 3 tonight. So I'm going to play number 3 on his new CD. And it's supposed to be cool. So let's just kind of breathe through it. I love to see all the different things the people that I love can do. He's playing guitar too and singing.
Yeah. yourself. It's time for you to stand up for yourself. It's time for you to stand up for yourself. You know the situation I'm talking about. It's time for you to stand up for yourself. It's time for you to stand up. Stand up. Wow. That's a trip. Dave can, that's some beautiful music Dave made. Wow. I love it. His name is Dave Zobel. Cool guy. God, I like to stand up. Okay, that was my first message from the Holy Spirit tonight. That it's time for us to stand up. There's some situation that's going on in your life right now that you need to stand up. And you know what the situation is. You want your mind to write to it. I don't have to know that way. I still keep having a good day. Isn't that cool? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, maybe cast the message along, but you don't really have to know the form that the illusion is taking. You know, because I love my story. I do. Earl Purdy's story. It is awesome, y'all. I did it up this time. I showed out. Mm-hmm. I was running around up there in heaven, and I decided I wanted to be a black dude in the South in the 50s. I was showing out that day, y'all.
Yeah.
You really were. I was right there. I was showing out. So the section we're on is called The Voice for God. The Voice for God. The Voice for Love. Okay. On page 75. Okay, this is great. The first thing the Course says is that healing is not creating. Healing is reparation. So we are being repaired. Okay. He says the Holy Spirit promotes healing by looking beyond it to what the children of God were before the healing was needed. So that means that the loving mind promotes healing by looking beyond the healing to what you were before you needed healing. So if I'm in my right mind and I want to heal with you, then I'm going to look beyond the healing to the way things were before they needed healing. So if I'm going to have a healing, I got to look at things the way they were before the healing was needed, and I have to look at things the way they will be when the healing has occurred. The Course says that's how healing happens. If I want to heal with you, Bonnie, I have to focus on the way it was before the healing was needed and the way it's going to be after the healing has happened. And then that's healing. And the Course says that's this alteration of the time sequence, seeing it the way it used to be and seeing the way it's going to be. because it is very similar to the shift in the perception of time that the miracle introduces. And the Course in Miracles says a miracle is a correct perception. So when you have a correct perception, you're going to have a shift in the way you interpret time. As soon as your mind is corrected, you're going to have also going to have a different perception of time. And once you get in touch with your sane, loving mind, he says you're going to have a different perception of time than the one we have right now. And I'll give you an example of that. A different perception of time was what he just told us when he said that if you wanted to heal, you have to look at it the way it was before it needed healing, and you have to look at it the way it will be after it has been healed. That's an alteration of the time sequence, right? Because we used to focus on what needs to be healed. We used to focus on the problem,
yeah.
Right? Okay, so he's saying if you want to heal, instead of focusing on the problem, you have to remember how it was before you had the problem, and you have to remember how it's going to be when you don't have the problem. Focus on what you would be doing if you didn't have your problem. Focus on what you'd be doing if you didn't have your problem, and focus on what you were doing before you had your problem. That's what he's telling us. So all we do is focus on the problem. So that's the way we use time. We use time to focus on the problem. But when you're in your sane mind, you have an alteration of the time sequence, which means instead of focusing on the problem in time, you focus on the way it was before you had the problem and the way it will be after the problem is solved. That's an alteration of the time sequence that only a Holy Spirit mind can do. Only a mind that's in love and knows the truth can pull off what I just said. So don't feel bad about not being able to do it. Because we know we don't have that kind of mind. Right?
Right.
We know that we're not always using our unconditional loving mind. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Even if you said you were, we wouldn't believe you. Okay. We just know you deeply in denial. And we're going to love you in spite of that. Some people, they wouldn't have no happiness at all if it wasn't for their denial. So, you know, don't be taking people's denial away before it's time. Because, you know, they're in denial about what's going on so they can feel good. You get them out of denial, then they feel horrible, but you don't have no answers for them. That's so funny. Like, that's funny. That's funny. So the course says, miracle mind. I love this. The book, you never have to figure out what the course means because it tells you as it goes along. It says, the Holy Spirit is the motivation for miracle-mindedness. What is that? The motivation for miracle-mindedness. What's that? The decision to heal the separation by letting the separation go. As soon as you're willing to let the problem go, that will heal it. Your will is still in you. And the Course says will is mind. It's one of the definitions. So you can say your mind is still in you, I promise. He says, because God, I love this, because God placed your will in your mind. And although you can keep your will asleep, although you can keep your mind asleep, although you can keep your power asleep, I'm giving you all Course in Miracles definitions, although you can keep your power asleep, you cannot obliterate your power. So your power may be asleep, but you still got it. Your freedom might still be asleep, but you still have it. You know, your powers and your will is still there, even though you might have forgotten about it. It hasn't been obliterated. Your will, what you want, what you will, has not been obliterated. Okay?
Yeah.
I swear that sounded like it would be good news, but you couldn't tell it by the crowd. I tell you that. Okay. All right. That thrill of the house. No, you can have that you haven't lost everything you want. Okay. Then it says, God Himself keeps your will alive. I knew something was keeping it going, but it sure wasn't me. He says, God Himself keeps your will alive by transmuting your will from God's mind to your mind as long as there is time. Yeah. So as long as you are in time, love is going to keep your will alive because love is going to transmit your will, which is love, from its mind to your mind. As long as you are in time, love will be transmitted from the divine mind to your mind. As long as you are in time, your will be transmitted to you. As long as you are in time, your will be transmitted to you by the divine mind, God. Okay, that's cool. Then it says, the miracle itself is a reflection of the union of will between Father and Son. We know the Father and the Son is us and the Creator, right? So if I want a miracle, it's going to be a reflection of my uniting my will with my Creator's will. As soon as I unite my will with my Creator's will, the Course says at that point you have some experience that you'll call a miracle that's just a reflection of your willingness to join your will to God's will. Then you will see what you think of as a miracle. When I unite my will with love's will, then I see what I call a miracle, which the Course calls a correct perception. So as long as I'm connected to love in my mind, I will have a correct perception. As long as I'm connected to love, I'll have a correct perception of all of you. As long as I'm connected to love, I'll have a correct perception. The Course says a miracle is a correct perception. That if we have a correct perception, it's a miracle.
Okay.
If we have a correct, that's why it's called a Course in Miracles. It's not because we're gonna part the Red Sea. But he said, because if y'all see things correctly, it's a miracle. Okay, that's why it's called a Course in Miracles. Okay. So that's that paragraph. All right. Yeah.
As long as there is time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate a little bit about that? I don't. Time
as long as you see yourself in time, like right now you see yourself in 7:20. Okay. He says, as long as you see yourself in time, God, your higher self, is going to always still be transmitting your will to you, your will to live, your will to love. Your connection to your power is being transmitted to you all the time, as long as you are in time. You're going to always have a connection with God, that God is transmitting your will to you as long as you are in time. Which is the same as saying, as long as you are in the body. As long as you are in the body, then you're going to have divine mind transmitting your real will to your mind, as long as there is time. Wow. And so a miracle would be nothing but a reflection of you uniting your mind with that desire. A miracle is me going, you know, I want to unite my will with the will of God. I want to unite my will with the will of love. That's all it means. I do. I'm willing to admit that. Then that'll give me a correct perception. And then the only thing that's really upsetting me is my perception. So that once my perception is corrected, I feel cool. Yeah. It was funny. When I came in here, I noticed I didn't have my wallet in my pocket. And so immediately there was a part of my mind that went into panic. And it went into that place where you go into deep fear. And then I realized that before I came over here, all I was thinking about was how excited I was about getting an opportunity to share this. Mm-hmm. And so I realized instantly that what I was experiencing, whether the wallet was gone or not, was a test to see if I was going to apply the truth of what I've learned to this moment. Because it don't mean nothing if I don't apply it to the situations when they come up. Mm-hmm. So I knew that it was a way to keep me from staying in the now moment, which is still where everything that I wanted was about to occur. But it was only about to occur now. And I could spend the rest of my time focusing on the past and miss this now, or focusing on the future and miss this now. But what I really wanted was happening right now. I can't do nothing about whether the wallet is here or not right now. And so I got two choices. I can either use this moment to still focus on what makes me feel good, and or I can use this moment to be afraid about what's happened to the wallet. But in both situations, I see I'm the one that's choosing the perception I'm going to have, and then there's going to be a way that I'm going to feel that's going to go with either one of my choose. Uh-huh. One of my choose, I'm going to feel like crap and still be here.
Yeah.
You know, still here, you know.
Yeah.
And another one is, you know, then I know that in a simultaneous universe where all possibilities exist at once, I know there is a reality where the wallet is at home and one that is not. Because all possibilities exist. So I know that I got to choose which reality that I'm going to leave and go into. The one that has the wallet or the one that doesn't have the wallet. Those are, you know what I'm saying? Those are the only two realities waiting for me. And so I've got to see it in such a way that no matter which one of those realities show up, I'll still be peaceful. I can still keep my center. That way I don't have to worry about which one of them is going to happen.
Wow.
So if I can get to the point that I'm not concerned about the outcome and not attached to the outcome, then I'll be in the optimum level of consciousness that would produce the wallet if the wallet was supposed to be produced. But it could always be the test, can I keep my peace if the wallet don't show up?
Right.
I could be having to hit it for that one too.
Yeah.
You know. So
wow.
So I want to right now, I want to remember how good I felt before the wallet thought came up. And I want to think about how cool I'll be after the whole situation is healed.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can change the time sequence, which the Course says that's the shift in perception that reflects my decision not to feel separate. I'm making a decision. I don't want to feel separate from feeling good right now.
Doesn't that mean that you're holding on to your power?
Absolutely.
As opposed to giving the wallet that power.
Exactly. Because I have given the wallet the power all my life. You know. Yeah, the main thought is, if I have money, everything's going to be all right, basically. You know what I'm saying? If I need a few friends, I'll just buy them. Okay.
Wow. Thank you.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about in every given moment that you have a choice that you can heal that situation by remembering the peace that you felt before that situation came up, and the peace that you're going to have when you don't let that situation get rid of your peace. So I immediately start focusing on how grateful I am to be able to be here and to share this with you. Because I know the Course has taught me that the way you fill up gaps in your faith is with gratitude. It's the pothole. You know, it's the stuffing. It's the plug. It's the plug for your fear is gratitude. Because fear, he says, is a big hole. Mm-hmm. A big hole in your peace. And you got to plug that hole up. And you plug that hole up with gratitude. So I immediately start focusing on how grateful I am to be here. How grateful I am for you. How grateful I am to be doing this.
Write that one down.
Oh, this is deep. Now, the next paragraph is awesome. Yeah. And I'm going to get to that. Any questions about the first paragraph or anything you'd like to share, anybody?
If you're focusing on how you felt before or how you're going to feel afterwards, aren't you focusing on the past or the not yet and not being in the now?
What you're experiencing is the Holy Spirit using your tendency to focus on the past and the future to your advantage for the first time. Because the easiest thing for you to do is to focus on the past. So it's okay, since you like to focus on the past, focus on how you felt before this happened. And then since you love to focus on the future, I want you to focus. You love to fantasize about the future. We love to fantasize about the future. So it's okay, since you like to fantasize about how good you're going to feel when the problem is healed. So you're exactly right. Holy Spirit is so smart, it uses the thinking that we already have to our advantage instead of against ourselves the way we've been using it. Because the book says your mind can't change. And you've already noticed that.
Yeah.
But in point of fact, you're actually, in truth, in the now, in the present.
Totally.
If you're able to remember and foresee, you're in the present. That's what you want now.
That's right. You're doing what you want to do in the present moment. So you're really being in the now.
Correct.
Because you're always in the now when you're doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's where doing what you want to do is located.
Yeah.
You can only do what you want to do now.
Mm.
So I used to think I did what I wanted to do in the past. Or I might do what I want to do in the future. I don't even realize I'm doing what I want to do now, sitting down here doing this, talking to y'all. You sitting here talking to me, that's what you want to do right now. You're already doing what you want to do right now. You know, nobody forced you to come here, right? Nobody said you better go to Earl's class or you're not getting none tonight. Nobody said that. Bet nobody's spouse said that before they left the house. You better come back here believing in God and you're not getting no nothing.
Hey, Earl.
Yeah.
Let me clarify something. So, my will, I can keep it asleep, but I cannot obliterate it. So what that says to me, that the instant image I got in my mind was of me as a little girl. And what that says to me is that purity, that wholeness, that love may have been asleep, but it truly cannot be touched. So it's like, I want to clarify this for anyone, I mean, for women maybe especially. You can be raped, but really no one can obliterate the purity, the love, the beauty inside of me, the strength. That's what I got from that. I could be abused, you know. I could be so beaten down by life, but there is a part of me that remains so untouched.
That's exactly what it means.
Wow.
That's exactly because that is exactly where our peace and where our power is located.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Course focuses so much on us recognizing that we're more than a body, because it says all of our guilt and fear is around the body. That the body is literally the symbol of fear. That when you think about getting mugged in the alley, you think of a body coming up behind you and slugging you. So really, you know, that person that hurt you was in a body. That person that touched you so the Course says the truth is we got a lot of fear around the body. And so if you were to become aware of your spiritual identity beyond the body, you'd automatically drop your guilt. You'd automatically drop your fear. But you still would have a body. But you'd no longer be attacking that body. Because the Course says you attack your body by assigning your body to goals that it cannot fulfill. And then every time you don't act out your fantasy, it says you take it out on your body. And then you attack your body through your anger and your upset, which eventually kills it, and you die. And so I said, damn, that's just too straight up. You know, I want to make it much more complicated than that. You know, that's why I admire anybody that studies the Course in Miracles. That's a person that's seriously ready to get out of denial. That's the only kind of person I hang with this book. But somebody that's really serious about getting out of denial and realizing that when you heal, you're right, I'm remembering that untouchable part, that invulnerable part that you were before this happened, and I'm focusing on the invulnerable person you're going to be when we get to the other side of this. That's the alternation of the time sequence that heals. And I have to admit, I haven't used that consciously. So how do I know it won't work? I haven't done any of this thinking, this kind of thinking consistently. But I have done the other kind. That's why people can't tempt me with it. You can defend the old thought system all night long, and it's not going to have one iota influence on me. There is nothing you can tell me to make me believe that the old way of thinking is the best.
Thank God.
Not for me.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, not because you got to prove it to me, but because I tried it all my life.
Yeah.
I can decide to go in another direction because of my own results, thank you. You know what I'm saying? So the Course says that one of the most brilliant points on the spiritual path is when you get to the point you will recognize misery and just go the other way. I went, what? Just recognize misery and just go the other way. And don't look at it as if you're being non-committed or abandoning.
Or what?
Abandoning. Because you recognize misery and went the other way doesn't mean that you abandon anyone. Okay.
Read on.
See, I like the way you took that and applied it specifically to physical situations that we go through, because that's exactly what the Course says you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take whatever the word book lesson is, whatever the thought is, and apply it specifically to the situation that you think you're dealing with specifically. Be as specific as you possibly can. You know what I'm saying? I really want to see my utility bill another way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, he said, get on down. He says, because he said that you use the truth in specific circumstances until you get to the point that you've gotten so many results that you would just start generalizing the idea to everything that's going on in your life. Because you've seen it work so many times in specific instances that you just transfer that awareness to every other area of your life. And I think that's so awesome. So at first you have to apply the truth to specific situations. Just like you were just saying. So this is what makes the Holy Spirit, the Course in Miracles says, such a trip. Now, when you say the Holy Spirit, the Course says, you're talking about the spirit of joy. So when you say, I want to give it to the Holy Spirit, you're really saying, I want to give this to the spirit of joy. I'm really upset right now. I really need to give this to the spirit of joy. Quick. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit, the spirit of joy. So when you say, decide for me, Holy Spirit, you're saying, decide for me, spirit of joy. I want joy to make my decisions. I want joy to choose my friends. I want joy to choose what I do every day. I want to put joy in charge. The spirit of joy. That's the Holy Spirit. Then he says, the Holy Spirit. Now check this out. The Course has given us all these definitions for the Holy Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit is the call to return with which God blessed the minds of his separated son. So the Holy Spirit is nothing but your call to return to love. Because God blessed your mind with the call for love. So I like to tell each and every one of you, what your minds are, what your mind is now because it's been blessed by God, your mind from this moment forward is a big call for love. You've been blessed. Your mind and everything in it is nothing but a big call for love. Your mind and everything in it is nothing but a big call for love. You've been blessed. Said the Holy Spirit is the call to return with which God blessed the minds of his separated sons. He says, this is your mind's job. I love that. The vocation of your mind is to return to love. That's your mind's job. For you to return to joy. That's your mind's job. To return you to joy. The purpose of your mind is to return you to joy. That's the purpose of your mind, is to return you to joy. He says the mind had no calling until the separation, because before the separation, your mind had only being, so your mind would not have understood the call to right thinking. See, until you separated yourself from your happiness, your mind didn't have any calling, because your mind was just in a state of being. So it wouldn't even understood the call for right thinking, because your mind was already in a right state. So he says, so when you said the Holy Spirit, you said, I'm going to call on the Holy Spirit. You said, I'm going to call on God's answer to this problem. I'm going to call on God's answer to the separation, the means by which the atonement heals until your whole mind returns to creating. So the Holy Spirit is God's answer to your separation. The spirit of joy is the answer to your problem, to your fear, to your separation. It's your joy. Your joy is the answer to your problem. Your own happiness is the answer to your problem right now. The Course says the correction of our error is going to heal our mind until our mind can create again. Having your errors corrected is going to heal your mind until your mind can create again. So these thoughts of healing our mind and correcting our mind so that it get our minds to the point that it can extend some love again. It can extend some joy again. It can extend some power again. Thank you. Okay, that's that paragraph. Any questions or comments about what the Holy Spirit is? So in other words, when I say I'm going to call on God, I'm going to say, I'm calling on the spirit of joy. I'm calling to return. This is the call to return with which God blessed my mind. This is the vocation of my mind. My mind didn't even have a calling until this problem, because before this problem, my mind only had cool outness. And my mind would not even understood the call to right thinking, but because before I went into wrong thinking, that's all I had was right thinking. So I wouldn't even understood. When I'm in my peaceful loving state, I don't even understand somebody calling for peace and calling for love, because that's a state of my being. It's my existence. I can't even consider the idea that I couldn't have it, because I am it. I got it. So how could I entertain the thought I don't have it when I got it? You're never afraid of losing something you really know you have. You're only afraid of losing something that you don't think you have. You're never afraid of losing a lover that you have. You know you don't have them, and that's why you're afraid. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Now, he says the principle of the atonement, which the Course says is the correction of error. He says the principle of the correction of error and the separation begin at the same time. So the principle of oneness and the principle of being separate happen at the same time. The principle of being separate, which is what we are experiencing right now, and the principle of being one, both were created at the same time. So he says, when your ego was made, when your fear was made, when your idea that you were separate was made, when your guilt was made, of course, that's all ego stuff. He says, when your ego was made, when your separate identity was made, he says, God placed in, out of your mind, the call to joy. So as soon as your fear happened, immediately love placed inside of you, I want to be happy. See, that comes from God. When you go, I want to be happy, I want love, I want joy. Because as soon as the fear came up, he says, God placed within us the call for it. And that's what everybody's running around doing. They're calling for happiness and calling for peace and calling for that. They say, where are you, God? They don't even know that God created the call. Because you were afraid, you needed to ask for what would take away your fear. He says you want a correction of the condition that's causing your fear, and then you'll let go of the fear. So he says, don't ask God to get rid of your fear. Ask God to get rid of the condition that you're using to cause you to be afraid. Then you'll let go of the fear.
Say that again.
If there's a bear in front of me and I'm afraid, you take away the bear and I let go of the fear. That's what I just said. Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's like you get rid of the condition. condition is, you get rid of the condition that's making me afraid, I promise I'll let go of the pill. You get rid of the condition that I'm using to make me angry, and I'll let go of the anger. It's the condition that I'm using, the condition I am using to make me afraid. He said, so ask for a condition, ask for a correction or releasing the condition. He says, well, I'll tell you what the condition is. The condition is your willingness to be separate from yourself. Your willingness to be separate from everybody else, and your willingness to be separate from God. That is what's creating the condition that's making you afraid right now. And if you ask for that condition to be corrected, which means if you ask for this separation to be corrected, then you will let go of your fear, because the condition that's causing your fear will disappear. And the workbook gets you to that state of mind. And what the textbook does is it gives you the theoretical foundation of the course. It's not so much what we're able to do right now, but at least we're hearing what the thought system is saying. That's all we're doing. We're not supposed to think we can do this. We just want to listen to how a right man operates. So how does a right man operate? Well, the first thing that a right man does is it says, you know, I'm repairing. I'm not creating nothing yet. I need to be fixed. I need to be healed. And then it says, I'm going to go through the healing by looking beyond it to what I was before I needed the healing, and the way I'm going to be when the healing is over. So by looking at things that way, then I'm looking at things in a way, he says, that introduces the miracle. So all of a sudden, I have made the decision that I want to let the separation go instead of hanging on to the separation. And so my will to be happy is still in me because God placed it there, and God will continue to place my will to be happy in me from the God mind as long as I am here. And whenever Spirit is talking to me, Spirit is going to communicate to me through a spirit of joy, and it's going to make me want to return to the joy. Because before I gave myself this pain, I could not have even considered even needing somebody to help me get out of pain. So whenever I say I want to call on the Holy Spirit to help me out, he says, what you're saying is I want to call on God's answer. I'm calling on God's answer to my separation. I'm calling on God's answer to my problem. I'm calling on God's answer. That is the same as saying, I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. I'm calling on God's answer. I'm calling on love's answer. That's calling to God. That's calling to the Holy Spirit. And he says, then God puts that desire for you to want to be happy inside of your mind as soon as you start giving yourself a hard time. As soon as you don't like yourself or you're upset about something, then your right mind gives you the desire to have that thing corrected. Because it was your wrong mind that got you into it. So it's only going to be your wrong mind that says you didn't need to get out of it. Your wrong mind did its job when it got you in it. At that point, it was through. It had done what it was hired to do.
Yeah.
So if you want to go into more wrong stuff, call me again. I got night rates and everything. I can make your nights miserable as well as your days. Just give me a call. I'm your wrong man. You know, who you gonna call? My wrong man. And I won't be miserable, you know. And so the court says, so the minute my wrong man starts screwing things up for me, my right man went poof, I'm gonna put inside you the call to joy. I'm gonna increase your desire to be happy.
Earl, how does that happen?
I don't know how it happens.
I mean, so like you have this old thought system,
mm-hmm.
You know it's not working for you.
Yeah.
And you can't trust anything you think.
Right.
Anymore.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, so when you're thinking, oh God, I hate myself. Oh God, I've messed that up again.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you start going, what part of me would say that? What part of me would say something to me?
Part of your mind mm-hmm. is saying that, mm-hmm. but it's so hard to automatically, not automatically, but it's hard to get back. It's hard when you're in the moment, and you're not in the moment, but it's hard in that state.
In the wallowing.
The Course says the Course of Miracles says everything is just a matter of motivation. Okay. It's as hard. It's as hard as you motivate.
So when you reach your limit,
mm-hmm. you'll be super motivated. Look, when I was ready to, when it was time for me to end my marriage,
mm-hmm.
I didn't care about one physical thing I had. I just wanted my freedom.
Yes.
And I was not going to let something that I could recreate stop me from the freedom I wanted to have. So you can have everything you want, because I'm taking with me the only thing that's really valuable to me, myself, my freedom, my right to be peaceful, my right to be happy. The call for joy was so strong in me that it would not let me any longer stay in something that did not serve me. And it was no reflection on the person that I left. It's that you just get to the point that your peace is more important to you than anything or anybody. And that's how you will know that you're no longer using that thing as an idol. Because an idol, by definition, is anything you will put before your peace.
Okay.
That's your idol. It's hard for me to change it first because I'm still in love with my idol at first. What is my idol? I want to be right, even if I'm wrong. I want to be right more than I want to be happy. I want it to be the way I think it is, even if it's not even working. I want to be right more than I want to be happy. That's my idol. Of course, that's the idol.
So if you're putting, if it's your job or if it's whatever that's, that you're putting between you and your happiness,
mm-hmm.
and that's your idol.
That's your idol.
That's my idol.
Yeah. And the idol, the quote says, an idol is nothing but a false impression or a false idea that you would rather believe than the truth about that thing.
Okay.
So if I look at you and I look at you as anything other than that, than the beautiful unlimited child of God that you are, then I am looking at my idol about you.
Okay.
I'm looking at the thing about you that I'd rather believe is true than what's really true about you. And he says you can always tell whenever you have made something an idol, because every time an idol falls, you cry. Every time an idol, so you know the difference between whether that thing was an idol or whether or not it was something that was real by how much you're crying about losing it.
That's why I hate crying so healing.
Yeah.
What did you say?
You know.
That's why crying so healing. You should let go of false.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time you cry, it's like I thought that was real, but it's not. I'm really realizing that I saw myself lost the wrong way again. I fooled myself again. You know, that's what crying. That's the sad crying. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the joy. I'm talking about that. I feel like I just lost. The Course says when you crying, you can always tell because you just had an idol fall. Because if you were in tune with who you really are, you would never ever even conceive of the idea that you could lose. You would know it was no way in the world that anything could possibly happen to you that wasn't for your own best interest. So there would be nothing you'd ever cry about.
Yeah. If we could just remember that. If we could just remember that one.
Yeah. Well, even if you don't remember it, what you want to do is you want to have a state of mind that even if you don't know what the truth of the situation is, your state of mind does not obstruct the answer. Okay? It's not necessary to know what the answer is so much as it's necessary to achieve a state of mind that doesn't block it. Okay, and so the Course is trying to teach us how to achieve the state of mind that doesn't block our good. It's not trying to make us aware of everything beyond our perception. And that's what we're all about. We're trying to figure out the unknown. We're going to analyze the unknown. We're going to figure out the unknown. And the Course is saying, no, it's not about you analyzing it. It's about you achieving a state of mind, a perception, that your perception will not block the healing, the answer, the love, the abundance, whatever it is you need. You got a state of mind that doesn't block it. Even if you don't know how it's going to get there, even if you don't know where it's coming from, all you know is you don't want to block it. So a conscious being is working on unblocking. It's just not concerned about analyzing it, figuring it all out, understanding what's on the other side of perception. You know, the whole game that we play with our spiritual ego. It's like, no, then he says the perception that does not block knowledge is just two things. He said the perception that does not block knowledge is a perception that's devoid of attack, and a perception that believes that when they share their perception, everybody benefits through it. That my perception that I just shared with you is not going to result in anything but gain. So he says, if you're in that state of mind, if you're in that kind of perception, then you're in a perception that does not obstruct knowledge. It doesn't engender knowledge. You don't know everything. You're never going to know everything as long as you think you're in the body. So give that one up. But you do want to have a state of mind that doesn't block everything that you deserve and you desire and this and that you should have. See, that's what he's saying. That's what the kind of mind you really want.
Isn't that what happens when we study this book? Is are analyzing, exhausting our ego to the point of where we really let go and experience that peace?
Yeah, you first analyze yourself. You analyze the course to death,
yeah.
And then one day you burn out your analyzing motor.
You're not going to the eye level.
Yeah. And then you let go of the eye level, and all of a sudden you go, oh, I see what it's saying.
Yeah.
So you're going to burn it up. You're going to burn your little... I mean, when you first get in the Course in Miracles, it's like analyze. It's an analyze part, Annie. But don't forget, you know, like I've said many times, take the word analyze, A-N-A-L, anal. And then the rest of us, A-L-Y-Z-E-D, lies. Anal lies. Anal lies. Anal lies. So you're going to analyze it. You know, you're going to be all anal, and then you're going to make it into a bunch of lies. That's what we do. We get all anal, and then all of a sudden, that's a lie. That ain't true. It couldn't be that way. How could that work? See, I analed it, and then I lied it.
Is that like butt pips?
Like what?
Like butt pips.
I never heard of butt pills, but I don't know. Analyze does sound like a butt pill to me. And you know, so some of us have really big butt pills. So there's no doubt about it. Yeah.
I like it.
Okay. I'm gonna do the rest of this paragraph right quick. We had in the home stretch time wise.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm. It says the principle of atonement, and that's, you know, let's get, you know, in the Course says the atonement is the correction of error or the undoing of fear. Okay? So the principle of the correction of error and the separation began at the same time. When your ego was made, when your fear was made, or the conflict was made, the Creator placed in your mind a call to joy. Now, this call for joy is so blasted strong that your fear will always dissolve at the sound of your call for joy. So you can, in other words, you can want to be happy. You can want to experience your peace. You can experience your joy so strongly that it absolutely dissolves and gets rid of your fear. You can want it so much that you can't be afraid. That's deep. That you could desire, love, and joy so much. You could have such a passion for your happiness, for love, so much that it dissolves your fear. And it didn't say to me that I had to be loving. It said I had a call for love and a call for joy that was so strong it dissolved my fear. And there's one thing I'm good at from being here on this earth, is wanting stuff. you know, having a call for it, wanting it. Thank you, Lord, for using my powers. Hey, guess what a smart God would do? A smart God would use me the way I already am in order to fulfill the goal. It wouldn't be asking me to make a whole lot of changes. That extends to too much time. If I really want to get something done with you right now, let me use you the way you are right now. Then I don't have to worry about trying to use you in the future. I'll just use you right now. But the problem with using you right now is I'd have to use you the way you are because I don't have time to change you without putting it in the future. So if I really want it right now, I can't want to change you or else I'm putting it in the future.
Yeah.
So if I really want to have everything I want from you right now, I got to accept you as you are right now as fast as I possibly can so I can receive what you can give me right now.
So this is probably the point that someone says, would you repeat that, please?
And that's the point that I say,
no.
It's on the CD for $5. I'm telling you, it's going to be such a cool, satisfying single seminar on Saturday. It's going to be cool. I'm telling you. Okay. Stephanie and I were meeting today about it, you know. But so It'd be interesting to see who the Holy Spirit sends. Then it says, now, the call is so strong that the ego, y'all understand the Course says the ego is nothing but your fearful thought. So I'm just saying fearful thought. The call is so strong that the fearful thought always dissolves at a sound. That's why you must choose to hear one of two voices within you. I said again, you got to choose which one of the voices inside of you that you're going to listen to. You got to choose which one of the voices inside of you that you're going to listen to. Now let me describe the two voices. One of the voices inside of you, you made yourself. One of the voices that you're listening to is a voice you made yourself. And the voice you made yourself, I love that. He says, the voice that you made yourself. And the voice that you made up is not the voice of love. So you can always tell the voice that you made up, because it's the one that don't have no love in it. That's how you can tell. Yeah. Which one of these voices is the voice of God? Let me think. One voice is telling me to kill him and chop him up and put him in the sea. And the other voice is telling me I need to learn how to look past that to the peace of God. Now, which one? Is it the ego or is it the Holy Spirit? And I was like you can't tell the difference. You know what I'm saying? It's so funny to me. It's so funny. What you mean? That those two voices are so different than what they're telling you that there's no way in the world you can say that you don't know how to tell which is the voice that's telling you what to do. And if both voices give you the same amount of upset, that's your clue that both of the choices are illusions and both of the choices are the same, and it won't make no difference which one you choose. You're going to be miserable. Because you're miserable trying to consider the alternatives. One of them should be more appealing than the other if they was really different. Nothing in perception has equal appeal. Nothing in the world of perception has equal appeal. So no matter what the choice is, one appeals to you more than the other. He said you got to choose to hear two voices. One of the voices is the voice you made up, and that's the voice that's not of love. And then he says you can tell when you're listening to the voice given you by God. Okay, how can I tell? Here we go, y'all. How can I tell when I'm listening to the voice from my higher self? How can I tell when I'm listening to the voice for God? He says it right here. The voice for God is going to say, listen to me. Got it? The voice from God, what is it right there on the page? He said, it's going to ask only if you listen to it. It's going to say, listen to me. 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 The other voice is going to be, well, I think it's just right here, and I just don't know what's going on right there, and I'm just thinking like, and you know what caused it, and my dad had a thing different, and men are no good, women come from Jupiter, and you know, if I wasn't black, if I wasn't a man, if I wasn't America, you know what I'm saying, if I had better breath, you know. Then the other voice is just saying, listen to me. Would you please listen to me? Okay? And then he says, the Holy Spirit is in you in a very literal sense. That call is in you in a very literal sense. This voice is the voice. Okay, how can you tell when you're listening to the real voice? He says, the real voice is going to call you back to where you were before. And it's going to call you back to where you will be again. I know you lost your peace, but I'm trying to call you back to the peace you had before you lost it. I'm trying to call you back to the love you had before you started being afraid. I'm trying to call you back to the innocence that you are before you started to feel guilty. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. You are innocent. You are a child of God. You are forgiven. You are spirit. Listen to me. Listen to me. You've given this thing all the meaning it has for you. Listen to me. You just seen the stuff you learned in the past. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. God's voice is saying, listen to me. I want to bring you back to where you were before you started to feel afraid and where you will be after you are no longer afraid. But you got to listen to me. You got to listen to me, or you have to listen to the voice you made up. And that voice is not a peace. That voice is not a love. That voice has got you upset. Okay? He says, it is possible even in this world to hear only that voice and no other. It is possible even in this world, and the Course says the world is a false perception. So let's put it this way. It is possible even in this false perception to hear only that voice, and no other. But here's the catch, boys and girls. It takes effort.
Effort.
It takes effort. And then my mind went, well, that's what I'm always falling down on, the effort part. And then the course says, whenever the course has a conjunction, you could just say, this means, there's a whole book of synonyms like that. It says, it is possible even in this false perception to hear only that voice and no other. It takes effort, which means it takes great willingness to learn. That's all effort means from a Course in Miracles perspective. That when you say effort, all you mean is I have a great willingness to learn how to listen to that voice and no other voice. I have a great willingness to learn how to listen to the voice that helps me and no other voice. I have a great willingness to learn how to listen to the voice that loves me and no other voice. I have a great willingness to listen to the voice of the power that wants to free me and no other voice. That's what he's saying. You got to have a great willingness to listen only to the voice that will help you. That's what effort means. I have a great willingness to learn. That's all effort means. It's not a physical thing. It's an attitude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Effort is an attitude.
Yeah.
It's not physical effort. He says, it takes effort and great willingness to learn. It is the final lesson that I learned. And God's sons, that means we, are all as equal as learners as we are as sons. We are all learners, just like we are all one creation. Every one of us are learners, and every one of us are creation. And this paragraph told us that it is possible to only listen to the voice that's going to keep you from getting in trouble. It is possible to listen only to the voice that will keep you from pain, but it takes great effort, which means a great willingness to learn. But you can have a desire for joy that is so strong that your fear dissolves at its sound. I'm going to stop right there. Thank you for listening to this with me. I'm not holding fear in. Whoa! I love reading the course. I'm telling you, you haven't got the book. Let's really. I really want to work with this book, and I really want us to hear this together. Because when you get into the course definitions, can you see the difference that it makes in it? Like the minute you hear the definition that it gives, like it was right there on the page. The Holy Spirit is the call for joy. I wasn't making that up. That was right there on the page. But all of a sudden, you see that it's telling you what it means. When you've been trying to figure it out, it is just telling you what it means.
Listen.
I love it. Listen. So the voice that loves me is going to say, listen to me. Listen to me.
Carol, you may have pronounced it before, but where is the single session taking place?
It's going to be here.
Right here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you still can sign up for that tonight if you like to do it. Thank you for sharing with me. I really appreciate that. I really do. The Holy Spirit, the call of joy for abundance is answered through you. So thank you for sharing with me and finding value in what I share. I'll pass it around there. Thank you, God. Also, let me take another breath. I want to welcome you to the 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning. We have great service. This is an intimate, cooled-out, little small church where you really can get to know the people. So it's really cool on your own, because it's when you read it on your own that the miracles start to happen. They really come from your study. But I know the book can seem kind of daunting. But I love the book. So I'm saying, if you want to really get in the book and hear the book, come to my classes, because it's going to come to life. We're going to bring it to life like we did tonight.
Yeah.
You might have read that and went, I didn't get that out of it when I looked at it, you know.
Yeah.
I like your style, sweetie.
Well, you know something? I came to realize, Judy, that I would never, ever in my life be around people who could accept me for who I am until I started being it. And then I had to go through that scary stage where it seemed like I lost the people who were afraid of who I really was. And so they didn't, when I started to reveal myself, it frightened them. Because it was so different from the need that they had made up for me to fulfill.
I had that experience.
Yeah. And so your temptation is to start compromising again and then trying to be what you think the other people want. And then you have to be strong enough to stay true to yourself, even through that period where it sometimes looks like you're alone, right before all the new reinforcements of your real self show up, you know. And it's so cool. It's like I just went through another one of those periods of it looked like it was pretty much me, you know. And now I'm moving into one of those periods again where the people that are around me are people who seem to have take great joy in just me being myself and who I really am, you know. I'm telling you. Okay, so let's take a couple of minutes to bring it in.
Oh yeah.
You should be proud of yourselves. You know, because you let your spirit of joy bring you here tonight. So right now you're being repaired. And spirit is looking at you to the way you're going to be when you get through dealing with whatever you think your problem is right now. You have made the decision to let the separation and the fear go. So that was the condition for miracles. Your will to be happy is still inside of you, and your will to be happy is going to be continually transmitted to you by God as long as you're here. And so dissatisfaction is nothing but your radar. It's through dissatisfaction that you don't allow yourself to be satisfied and contented with less than what you deserve. So dissatisfaction is nothing but a reflection of your unwillingness to have less than you deserve. So if you feel real dissatisfied right now, that's because the homing beacon in you really is strong, and you will not allow yourself to be satisfied with something that is not what you deserve, and that's why you're dissatisfied right now. Your dissatisfaction is a sign of your high self-esteem. So right now, you are allowing your mind to be corrected until it can return to creating. There are just two voices inside of you. One voice you made up, and it's the voice that makes you afraid or upset. And the one that you were given by God. And the one that you were given by God is only asking that you listen to it. And that voice is trying to call you back to the peace that you had before this conflict and the peace that you will have after this conflict is over. It is possible only to listen to your inner guidance and your higher self and no other voice in this world, but it takes great effort. But don't be afraid of the idea of great effort, because great effort simply means it takes a great willingness on your part to learn how to have what you deserve. In other words, you just have a deep desire to be happy, your deep desire for peace, and your deep desire for happiness. That is your willingness to learn. And we are all equal as creations of God, and we are all equal as learners, and you deserve perfect happiness. Perfect happiness. You deserve perfect happiness. Complete happiness. You deserve perfect happiness. Complete happiness. Perfect happiness. Complete happiness. Perfect happiness. Complete happiness. Perfect happiness. And I mean happiness in the same spirit that I mean joy. I mean an absolute joy that cannot be affected by anything. It's an alive joy. It's a joy that has a life of its own in you. There's a joy that has a life of its own in you. And that joy is the call. It's the joy of spirit. Forget what you heard, it'll come back to you when you really need it.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
I don't know.
It's in there somewhere.
Oh, I can tell you. So hugs are definitely available. I appreciate you all from the bottom of my heart.
Ooh, mercy.